Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to an Eclipse Day edition of Basic Gospel. And I hope where you were that you got to experience the full effect. Most of the U.S. didn't, but we got a little bit of it, Richard. And, hey, we take what we get, huh?
Absolutely. I just think they're spectacular. Yeah. And here's the issue. This was the first time in like 99 years that this has happened in quite the way it happened this time. Well, it's going to happen again in 7 years.
Oh,
it's
wow.
going to come across northern Mexico and right across Texas, and the Dallas area should see 100% eclipse of the sun in 2024. So
I hope it lasts that long.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah.
All this month we've been talking about conforming to the world, how not to do that, and unfortunately, this eclipse event has been one of those times when we get to see the world at its best and at its worst. At its best, we see the splendor of the heavens and the scientific wonder that is our universe. On the negative side, we see people who are more towards a pagan persuasion worshiping today.
Right.
And on the Christian side, I have heard more fear and loathing over the last 3 or 4 weeks than I've heard in the last 5 years. I mean, like because of this event and a couple events that are coming up in September, next month, all of a sudden, God's judgment is coming on the world. Now, let me ask you a question. If everything that people are saying is true and Jesus truly is coming back at the end of September, shouldn't this be the most exciting time in the history of the world?
I would say so.
Shouldn't Christians be running around cheering and doing back handsprings, sharing the gospel with people? Well, that's not what's happening. Everybody is afraid. They're afraid their sins aren't forgiven. They're afraid that something terrible is going to happen to our country. It's like the eclipse never happens any other times.
Yeah,
the eclipse happens somewhere in the world like every 12 to 18 months. It's just this time it happened coming across the U.S., and we're so selfish, so self-centered that we think, oh, my, this must be it. Well, believe it or not, the Bible speaks to this issue, and I'm going to read a section. Forgive me in advance. This is a long section, but you've got to hear it.
Okay.
Most of it is from Hebrews chapter 12, and in Hebrews 12, we normally talk about the discipline of God. I'm going to skip that section and read everything else that's around it, and I think you'll see why. Starting at the very end of chapter 11, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and a darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. What's he talking about there? Sinai. When God came to give the law, it was such an overwhelming event that and nobody could touch the mountain. People were afraid. Well, there's a contrast because of what Jesus has done.
Yeah.
But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This is right near the end of the book of Hebrews, this letter. And in all the way through, in the every word of this letter, the writer of Hebrews is saying, Jesus is superior. Fix your eyes on Jesus because he is superior. He's victorious in every way that matters. If we would fix our eyes on him, we would not be concerned with conforming to the world.
Yeah.
It's only when we take our eyes off of Jesus that the world gets to us. That's the way Satan likes to play it. If he can get us by whatever means, good means or bad means, to take our eyes off of Jesus, we begin to sink into this morass that is called the world system.
Yeah.
The world is not our friend. Governments are not our friends. Nothing is going to change unless Jesus affects the hearts one by one of each individual. We can come to him, we can accept that life, and then he asks us, gives us the privilege of going to other people and offering that life to them. That's how you change the world.
Yeah.
That's how Jesus is victorious. Ignore the rest of this garbage.
Richard, great words. Thank you for sharing this with our listeners as we open this edition of Basic Gospel. Great admonition to keep our eyes on Jesus and to keep pushing forth, proclaiming him
Absolutely. As
we go forward, regardless of what covers the sun.
Yeah.
Not
Absolutely.
The S-O-N, but the S-U-N.
Absolutely.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. We hope you will join us, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open if you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour. This is the live broadcast. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we want you to join us. Again, 844-322-2742. If you'd like to comment on pose a question on what Richard was sharing, we would love to hear from you right now. So give us a call, 844-322-2742. Please remember, friends, that to keep this good news coming on Basic Gospel, we depend upon your prayers and your generosity. We depend upon God working through you, his people. Remember that with your donation to in the month of August, that we have this new and very special and exciting DVD series called Your Living Hope, and that's our gift to you as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of Your Living Hope. That's 844-322-2742 or basicgospel.net. Just click donate at our website. We would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, Richard, a question from Saab, and he says, in Revelation, talking about the seven churches, he's saying to each of the churches, but I have this against you. That was a quote, of course. He says, is this to us specifically? I want to know about Revelation 2:4, and thank you for your ministry. That's from Saab, a longtime friend.
Yes. Well, the churches in Revelation, there are seven of them, chapters 2 and 3, can represent a lot of things. First and foremost, they represented seven churches, literally, in what is today Turkey, mm-hmm. the country of Turkey.
Right.
They were situated in the Lycus River Valley, and they were major churches of the day. Places like Ephesus and Thyatira and Laodicea and Sardis and all of these churches.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that characterized this area was that it was a major trade route. Because it was a trade route, people were coming from the east and from the north and from the south and from the west, and everybody traveled through this major Roman road that was in the area. They brought with them all kinds of goods. They also brought with them all kinds of religion.
Yeah.
And the mystery religions got started in this area. The mystery religions in the Christian context ended up becoming Gnosticism. And we've talked about this before, where Jesus either couldn't be human because he was good, or he couldn't be God if he was human because humanity was bad, and he had to have this dichotomy between flesh and spirit. It led to all kinds of terrible things. So all seven of these churches had this kind of stuff happening to them. So there is a historical context for each of the warnings to the seven churches. By the way, not every church is warned.
Right.
There's a couple of churches that get no thank yous,
yeah.
but there's a couple that don't get any warnings. And the rather than focusing on the, I have this against you, what you should do is look for the parallelism. Every church has in it, after a little bit introductory statement, I know. This is God speaking to them, and he tells them, I know. And he describes their environment, the things they're going through. So first of all, God shows his care and his intimate relationship with his people by saying, I know. And only then does he go to a warning, if there is a warning, and say, I have this against you. And usually, and especially in the church of Ephesus, this is a situation where they started out so fantastically. Ephesus was the church in that part of the world. And yet, as a church, because of all this stuff that was going on from a beliefs perspective, from a persecution perspective, and all the rest of it, by the way, this is a very geologically active area, and there many of these cities had been destroyed more than once by earthquakes.
Right.
So they had a lot of stress. And God is saying, I know that you have these stresses. I know that you've been persecuted, or I know that whatever. Mm-hmm. But in the case of Ephesus, they had lost their first love. And that can only mean that instead of continuing in the Spirit with their eyes fixed on Jesus, they had done what Paul said to the Galatians, and they had taken their eyes off of Jesus and assumed that they could continue on as successfully as before by doing it themselves.
Yeah.
And so it's a warning to come back to by grace through faith and leave the behaviorism alone. Does that mean you practice bad behavior? Of course not. The Spirit's not going to let you do that. Spirit is going to constantly renew your mind and teach you how to deal with this situation. And so God warned Ephesus that you've abandoned this love. So remember from where you've fallen. Mm-hmm. This isn't saying you're going to be lost. It says your influence as a church is waning because you're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to do with behavior what only the Spirit can accomplish. But he also reminds them that some of the worst of these mystery religions and the sexual promiscuity that came along with them, they hated them. So they had not given in to that. They had not succumbed to that part of their society. And so he said, that's a good thing. Keep track of what is helping you maintain that status against these false teachings. And by the way, those of you who overcome, those of you who are truly walking by grace through faith, you're going to eat of the tree of life.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee. There's nothing in any of these warnings to the churches that demands that any individual lose his or her salvation. So what do we do with these churches today? If the shoe fits, wear it. If you see someplace in these seven descriptions something that is reflected in your life, you say to God, thank you for pointing this out.
Sure.
Please help me understand how to move away from this. Because remember, as a child of God, you're a forgiven person. There is no condemnation. Lots of discipline, no condemnation. Let the Spirit discipline you and renew your mind and watch what happens. It'll be amazing.
Yes. So I hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. You know, Richard, as we said many times, we love hearing from our listeners and friends. If you have a question that can't get to us while we're actually on the air live, the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, we would love to hear from you. You can pose your question in your own voice at 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. Well, Richard, we've been talking about this wonderful new DVD series called Your Living Hope, and you and Bob Christopher, of course, collaborated on this, and I think it's an excellent series that will be a great help to a lot of people. Give us your own opinion of how this can play into a person's life, you know, kind of the context that you were talking about at the top of the broadcast, being bold as we face the various things that come against us and, you know, influence our lives.
Well, thankfully, you don't have to look at me or Bob Davis or Bob Christopher about this. Just look at Peter, right? He's everybody's favorite person to pick on in the New Testament. Peter demonstrated very early in his life that he was willing to grab the bull by the horns. Almost always it was the wrong bull and in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And, you know, destruction resulted. But he learned something. When the Holy Spirit indwelt him that day at Pentecost, there were some lights that went on. And he learned, even though he still made some mistakes, we see that in Galatians, he and Paul got into it. They ended up as friends.
Yeah.
It was the proper kind of discipline. He learned that if you're going to face this world in any kind of a successful way, you're going to do it by grace through faith. You're going to do it because of Jesus' victory, not because of your own. And what he basically does in this letter is give his life story without referencing himself and saying, look, you're going to face things in government, you're going to face things in your job, you're going to face things in your marriage, you're going to face things just because people are picking on you. It's going to be tough. Life is hard because we live in a fallen world. But Jesus is victorious. He gives us a living hope. He turns us into living stones because he is the living stone. And so Peter, in this first letter, gives amazing encouragement to all children of God to hang in there, focus on Jesus. He's never going to let you go. Let him do what only he can do, regardless of the environment around you.
Yeah. Well, Your Living Hope is the DVD series that has come out of 1 Peter, and we encourage you to get your copy, and you can do that by making your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Simply click Donate when you visit BasicGospel.net or call your gift to 844-322-2742. As I said earlier, and as I've said often, that number is available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Either way, a great way to make your contribution, your donation to Basic Gospel. And by the way, if you live outside the U.S. or Canada, PayPal is the your best opportunity to donate to Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742 is available right now. We're getting kind of late in the broadcast, but if you call quickly, you can get through, as Mary Jo did from Louisville, Kentucky. Mary Jo, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, I was telling Michelle, I understand why things have to get worse before they get better, though. Why is that?
It's the world we live in. Satan is bound and determined to kill as many people as he can possibly kill, whether he kills them slowly or quickly. If he can do it with stress over time, he'll do it with stress. That's why we keep our eyes on Jesus, because we're not called to solve the problems we're in. We're called to walk by faith. The Spirit will give us the wisdom to deal with the problems that we're experiencing, but we don't fix the problem and then come back to God and say, see, I did it. Aren't you happy with me, Lord? And so we've got this tension that's going on. It's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Satan and his minions do something that causes stress to us, whether it's physical or spiritual, whether we bring it on ourselves or whether somebody else brings it on us. Satan tries to take advantage of that situation, and he keeps pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And when you think you can't take any more, he's going to push it a little farther. The sooner we learn to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are my answer, you are my assurance, you are my contentment. There's the one I have to learn. I don't have the answer in a millisecond, so I'm not content. No, you just hang on to Jesus. Focus on him. This is not, I'm not kidding about this. By grace through faith means that I don't move, I don't speak, I don't do a thing until the Spirit leads me to do it, step by step by step by step. I heard a wonderful sermon yesterday. There was our pastor gave this example. He says, you realize, of course, that God never speaks to us in paragraphs. He speaks to us in a sentence, and sometimes only a word at a time. I want the sentence. I want to know what's coming down the road so that I can have some control of it. God never gives that to us. So especially when we're going through suffering, if we think things are getting worse, it's because we're thinking about the suffering instead of thinking about Jesus. Let the Spirit lead us step by step, sentence by sentence. And then when the light comes back on, when the sun rises again in the morning, we truly are thankful because once again our God has demonstrated his faithfulness to us.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary Jo. Good to hear from you as always. Hope you keep listening and call again when you have other questions. Richard, very quickly, we had a couple of email questions over the weekend from Kristen. The second one concerning church discipline, we don't have time to get into today, but I'll get to the other one right now. This concerns 1 Corinthians 5:5, if you want to look that up. She says, can you please explain what 1 Corinthians 5:1 through 5, especially verse 5, means and how we apply it today?
Well, quite often the way you hear this is don't mess up. What Paul is really talking about here is the protection of the body of Christ, the church. They had a situation going on in the Corinthian church where one of their leaders had taken up with his father's wife. It wasn't his mother, it was his stepmother, but he had taken up with her. They were having sexual relations, and he was rather proud of it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, notice that in the first four chapters, Paul is talking about divisions in the church. Well, you want to have something that causes divisions in the church, have one of your elders involved in sexual immorality in a public way where he's flaunting it.
Yeah.
Paul says to the church, get rid of this. Get rid of this. There is no place in the church for this kind of behavior, this kind of arrogance. In order to protect the people, you must get rid of this situation. And they did.
Yes.
They did. Giving this man over to Satan is a shorthand way of saying, this is what he has chosen to do. Let him suffer the consequences of what he's chosen to do. How do we know this turned out well? Well, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, you know that guy I was talking about before?
Yeah.
I've heard about him. I know his repentance was real. I know that he has suffered enough. Welcome him back into the fellowship because now he is no longer a threat to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You want to get Jesus upset? Mess with the body of Christ.
Right.
Okay? Jesus isn't upset with me when I sin just by myself. But if I do something that harms the body as a whole, he's going to come to me and say, this is going to stop now.
Yeah.
And he's serious about that. Is there condemnation? No. But the discipline here is swift and effective.
Yeah.
Follow it, and you will end up in a better place.
Absolutely. Well, of course, this is precisely the issue that we'll talk about from Kristen's second email tomorrow.
Yes.
This month, we've been talking about our wonderful new series, Your Living Hope, the video series Bob and Richard put together, and we hope that you'll get a copy of it, and you can do that simply by making your contribution this month to Basic Gospel. It's your generosity and your prayers that keep us on the air, proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ day by day and month by month. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. We'll send you a copy of this empowering DVD series, Your Living Hope, from Basic Gospel. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for joining us again today, everybody, for Basic Gospel. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.